This podcast contains explicit language. Viewer discretion is advised.
He got the shot off! Throw it down!
He runs with the 50. He runs with the 40. The guy is drunk.
Here we go.
Bang it up!
You're listening to the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast with your host, Josh Lozano.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Yo, and welcome back to another episode of the Benchwarmers and Burners podcast. I'm your host, Josh Lozano, part of the Belly Up Sports Network. This week, bringing in two... basically, my type of guys, two drunk brothers on the show. That's the name of their show. I'm not insulting them or anything. And hey, even if they were inebriated, ain't nothing wrong with that. We got Travis and Jarrett. They're also part of the Belly Up Sports family. Like I said before, their podcast is at Two Drunk Brothers. Go check them out. Here, just so the audience can get used to your voice. How you doing, Travis?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having us on. We had you on a few weeks ago, so it's nice to get back on yours, but no, doing good and ready for this episode.
Yeah. And then, what about you, Jarrett? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, not doing so hot and gambling tonight, but you know, we all have those off nights. Hopefully we're able to deliver some winners for you guys for the NFL coming this weekend. Cause that is kind of our forte is the NFL. So
yeah, I was talking to Travis. I said, are you on Clemson too?
I'm not. Gonna lie, VCU money line down two, and I didn't check, but last I checked, they're winning. So
okay,
I always talk myself out of the lines that I should take.
But here, we'll just get right into it. I'm gonna pop a little champagne, especially to fit with the theme of the show. And one thing that I think that is funny is the one drop I always use for the show, just to let you guys know, is the Kevin Harlan saying
the guy is drunk
when that streaker came onto the field. So it's kind of perfect that your guys' name fits the bill, but. Anyway, so we'll start with it. First game that we're going to have is Tampa versus Green Bay. Basically, it's the old man bowl, the veteran bowl. Right now, if you were going to take it, Tampa is... it opened at... Tampa was plus 160 if you took them to the money line. Green Bay is minus 190. It's going to be a very interesting game because Aaron Rodgers is basically the Ice King. He's playing in freezing cold weathers. So we'll see if old man Tom... we know he doesn't like it when his centers have sweaty palms and shit like that, or just sweaty ass cheeks. That's why he always makes them wear the towels. But now we'll see if his if that matters in the cold. But I'll let you guys open up. What do you guys think of this match? What are you guys liking about it? Maybe not even on the betting aspect, or just like what are you excited for? Or if you want to open with the betting aspect, go for it. Floor is yours, guys.
Yeah. I'll kick it off real quick. Travis and I were talking. Green Bay, we think, is one of the most complete teams right now. Like, if you're to look at the four teams left in the playoffs, I think Green Bay, offensively and defensively, they're starting to step it up. They sacked Goff four times last weekend, and I think that's the key for them. If they can get to Brady, put some pressure on him, especially with the weather. I mean, Tom's not used to cold weather because he played, 16 seasons in New England. So, you know, I do think Green Bay wins this game, and I'll kind of let Travis delve into his thoughts as well.
Yeah, so we did our podcast came out today, so on Wednesday, and we were both on Green Bay. We liked them, you know, to win this game. We liked them to cover the spread, and like Jarrett said, they're the most complete team, and I think that like their play calling has just been some of the best thoroughly throughout the last few weeks. They're mixing in the run. They're mixing in all three running backs. And personally, I don't think anyone at this point in the season with what they're able to do can stop Devontae Adams.
Yeah, one thing about Green Bay is, to the audience, depending, the line might move, but at the time I'm seeing it a lot of books is Green Bay minus three. So up at a field goal at home, which depending how many brain cells they clear Mahomes for to let it. And I think it's going to be obviously Chiefs versus Packers. One thing, though, that is going to be very interesting to keep an eye on is just, I don't know, that Bucs defense, though. I think they really picked it up. But from a betting aspect, though, I feel like it's just so hard to bet against Green Bay at home. They're 11-6 ATS on the season. And I mean, it's just fucking Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. It's like, it's a hard team to bet. You guys are both going to take Green Bay with the points?
Yeah. Travis also likes them first half, minus 2.5.
Oh, so you think they're just going to roll this game?
I do. I had them first half against the Rams last weekend, and that obviously hit with flying colors. I think it was minus 3.5, and they were up by like 11 or something like that at halftime. But they always come out strong, whether or not they let up in the second half. I think they end up covering both. I just think that their offense is just unmatched, especially with the Bucks. They did have a tough time moving the ball, even though they scored 30 points last week. Mm-hmm. They were only set up in good field territory because of their defense forcing turnovers, which I don't think is going to really happen much against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Green Bay is actually 11-0 this season when they don't commit a turnover. Aaron Rodgers has been super efficient. You might say maybe it's because, you know, they got Jordan Love with that pick, and then he's just like, you know what, I really gotta show these guys they wasted that pick. You guys could have got me another offensive weapon, because he's been super efficient. And coaching matchup, I gotta ask you guys, saying shit that, you know, like Matt LaFleur and Rodgers are not gonna be able to work together. Rodgers wants to be the player and the coach. And to me, it kind of looks like they got through the bumps. I personally trust those two more than I trust Bruce Arians, because I don't have the numbers, but statistically speaking, quarterbacks in their first year with Bruce Arians are horrible, just because they always say, like, yeah, it's a complicated system. But then the second year, you could look at guys like Carson Palmer and all that, they take a huge leap. Team isn't anywhere close to how good their offense should be. I'm a little surprised that they were able to click this quickly and make it this far. I thought that they were going to get eliminated or even just have a trouble time in the wild card when the beginning of the season happened. I thought it was one of those teams that was like too good to be true. But what's your guys' thoughts about that?
Yeah, so I think Bruce Arians is a good coach, but he kind of limits, like you said, he limits his playmakers. I mean, you look at last week, Mike Evans had one catch for 3 yards, albeit it was a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But that's your number one guy. You got to get him involved. And then Ronald Jones is active. I don't know how healthy he was. It's just they've been kind of inconsistent. You know, they started out slow, like you said. They kind of picked it up. Brady did learn the system. I think LaFleur, he's that guy that trusts Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers, he allows Aaron Rodgers to make those, you know, check out a play at mm-hmm. line of scrimmage, call audibles, and Bruce Arians will get on Tom Brady's ass if he does that. Like, Bruce Arians wants Tom Brady to run the play that was called, and LaFleur gives Rodgers a little bit more flexibility, and that's where I think the difference is going to be in this coaching matchup, per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the same time, though, like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you almost have to be able to do that, since you do have limited weapons. Like, in Tampa Bay, it's going to be hard to not succeed when you have the weapons that they have.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, too, because I did forget about those quotes earlier in the season when Bruce Arians would just be saying, he's just like, yeah, Brady fucked up. He said that play, I'm like paraphrasing, but he's like, yeah, Brady just fucked up. He just didn't know what to do. And I was like, damn, he's really saying that like week two, week three. And at least Tom was like, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, I learned the playbook. He wasn't, you know, being a prima donna about it. So that to me, that was a little bit surprising, but I do agree with you. It's going to be wild. I think it's going to be a great game. I think this was probably the two best matchups that you can think of from both sides for a rating. I'm not sure who the announcers are going to be for it. I hope it's Tony Romo for one of them, because Tony Romo was just freaking the fuck out at the end of that Chiefs game. And I'm hoping that we at least get him for this one. So,
yeah, I think I'm not sure, but I think CBS has the AFC games. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll be on the Chiefs call again. I'm not positive on that, so don't quote me on it. I'll look it up right now. But if it's CBS, that'll be the Romo call. But yeah, I mean, he was just like on. Yeah, it is. So Romo will be on Bills Chiefs. Yeah. It'll probably be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on Bucks Packers.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we talked about why we really like the Packers. I want to give you guys the chance. If you were going to convince your friend to just bet Tampa, maybe you wanted to do a side bet where, and you really like the Packers, what would you tell them about reasons that Tampa could win this game?
The fact that they steamrolled them earlier in the year. That would honestly be my big one, because I know I bet the Packers in that game, and they started off hot, just like they always do. Let off the gas. Aaron Rodgers, I think, had like very, very minimal yards in the second half of that game, and the Bucs just rolled all over the Packers. So that'd be the one reason that I would say don't bet the Packers. I mean, that's about it.
I mean, couple that with it's Tom Brady in the playoffs in a conference championship game. I mean, how many times has this dude been there? No matter who he's with, no matter what weapons he has, it's Tom Brady in the playoffs. I actually put out a future at being in the playoffs for Super Bowl winners. It was for Packers, Bucks, Bills, and Ravens. So I got three of my four teams left. So, yeah, it's I'm hoping the Chiefs don't make it just because that way I'm guaranteed to win some money. But yeah, that, if you want to bet Bucks, it's Tom Brady in the playoffs.
And you say
earlier.
You say Tom Brady in the playoffs though, but so since 2008, so since Aaron Rodgers was starting, he is 12-6-1 in the playoffs against the spread. So, and I would say minus three, like that's don't want to say just straight up to win, but if it's the game's going to be decided by 2 points, I'm not comfortable with that anyway. So, meanwhile, on the other side, New England since 2008.
Oh, New England. You said New England. Sam Bay.
I know. I have to pull from New England because they haven't been in the playoffs. He hasn't been with the Buccaneers in the playoffs as much. In New England, Tom Brady was only 13-11 against the spread since 2008.
Ooh.
Something to chew on.
Yeah, that is something to chew on. We'll see, though. I'm glad you guys brought up the cold weather, though. I think that might be more of an effect to the actual tan. Because it's funny, we're basically forgetting. We're just throwing away like the other 11 guys on each side. We're just saying, oh, if Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers plays, whichever plays best is going to win that game. But I don't think the weather's really going to affect Tom that much. Because like most of his AFC Championship games, they were in places like Pittsburgh, freezing cold, Denver, freezing cold, Foxborough, freezing cold. So I am a little curious to see how that defensive front's going to be. And the thing about Rodgers is that that Bucs pass rush, I think, is going to have a hard time with Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers just loves throwing. He's at that point over his career where it's just he doesn't care about how many times he's going to throw the ball out of bounds. If it just beats it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to bring with the weather and like how we're just like Tom Brady's used to it. But you got to think guys like Mike Evans went to school at Texas A&M, played his whole career in Tampa Bay. Chris Godwin, same thing. Leonard Fournette went to LSU, has played pretty much in the South, in Florida, both places. So, I mean, yeah, those other guys, if they can't come up to perform, meanwhile Green Bay's used to it. Jair Alexander, if he can lock down, Mike Evans, then you're talking about a completely different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like that's a good point. That's kind of like what I was thinking of. The more I'm looking at this, the more it's I'm mentally convincing myself it's very dumb to bet against Aaron Rodgers right now because he's red hot. I'm just looking up all these numbers. He's thrown 11 touchdowns without an interception during their last three game winning streak. I don't know. Hey, we'll see though. I don't know. Tom Brady's one of those guys that he's just a legend maker, if that makes any sense. He lives for this kind of stuff. He's like that dude who looked himself in the mirror. He's like, I want Drew Brees. He said, I hope I'm the guy who retires Drew Brees. He didn't say that out loud, but you know that's the type of guy Tom Brady is. And you know, he probably walked in that locker room and he said, he's like, if any of you drop any of this passes, I promise you, he's like, I'll find a way to cut you. Like, that's just how Tom Brady is. People get fired up. They're like, fuck, this guy's got 6 championships. If he says we're going to win, you know, we're going to win. Hell yeah. And that is like a little bit of a mystique that he brings in. Because think about this. When's the last time the Buccaneers made the NFC championship game when they won it all with John Gruden? Is that the last time? I'm trying to recall.
I think so.
Yeah, so think about that. That's the last time they made it. And basically, I don't want to take
Travis was like 6 years old when that happened.
Probably. I'm looking it up, but it couldn't have been any time recently.
No, it wasn't. I just remember playing an old Madden game, and it was like John Gruden was on one of the loading screens because he won with the Bucks.
Yep. The last
time they made the conference championship was in 2002.
Yep.
So that was it. Yeah, so it is a little bit of a mystique building, and that's one thing that makes why football ratings are just dominant. And as much as I love basketball, it's just hard to catch up with it because every game matters and it's single game elimination, you know. So maybe 9 times out of 10 in Lambeau, you know, Aaron Rodgers would win, but that one time out of 100 could be that one time we all bet the Packers. So shit. We gotta see.
Yeah,
I think the Bucks got the best of the Packers earlier in the season, and you know, there's no way that Aaron Rodgers. I know coming back on one person, but I don't think he lets that happen again.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's hard to beat a team. That's why. All right, let's backtrack since we're talking about the Bucks. Anyways, we'll talk a little bit about the Saints Bucks game. I want to know what you guys' sides you were on and why you guys took it. I was on the Bucks. I took them money line. I took them spread because I was like, there's no way in hell they're going to beat them 3 times. 3 times? Beating the same team 3 times? I was like, I don't care. And then Drew Brees is a little, you know, he's his arms like falling off, you know, the meat's falling off the bone a little bit. You know, you can see it. So, but what'd you guys take on that and why?
I dabbled a small money line on the Bucks, and I had them in a couple different teasers. I teased them up to 10, so I was favorable on that.
I had the Bucks. I had in a teaser, but I took actually the Saints spread. So I was pretty disappointed. I thought like the whole game I was sitting comfortable, and they were looking good. The Bucks, like I said, they couldn't move the ball. Like at one point in like late in the third quarter, the win probability for the Saints was at like almost 85%. And then, like, right before Jared Cook fumbled that ball. And then from there, it's just game over. Like, you can't keep turning the ball over in the red zone. And I think that game vastly weighed on Drew Brees' shoulders and how he was unable to pull that away.
Yeah. It was funny because a lot of the media was saying, "Yo, Tom does it again." But, yeah, you're right. It was all those turnovers. Because Bucks didn't have a single turnover, and the Bucks, they didn't have a single turnover, but they forced key turnovers in key moments. It felt like just huge momentum shifting. Like, it just took the oxygen out. And then, yeah, Brady had great field position. So, I don't know.
He didn't even have a good game. Like, I'd say he didn't have a good game, but he only completed 54% of his passes and had 199 yards. Like, that's not hardly anything to brag about at all.
Yeah, you're right. After they... All the news and sports sites got all their interns to do as many Brady versus Drew Brees packages, and then they stunk.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, Drew Brees, Travis and I said it on our podcast this week, he should have retired 2 years ago. The last 2 years, he hasn't had that zip on the ball. He's got a noodle arm, hung around a little bit too long. I get wanting to ride out in the sunset, but – realistically, I just did not see them winning the whole thing this year. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think if Jameis Winston's in that ball game, yeah, I mean, it's turnover Winston. I think that one pass he threw, yeah, the guy was wide the hell open, but he had some zip on the ball. And I think Jameis Winston, you know, if they would have started him all year, we probably would be talking about a different team right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Plus, the man got LASIK. I've been dying to see a full season with Jameis Winston with LASIK, because I'm part of the theory. Especially because since he was a Florida Seminole, where he was just, they're like, "Jameis, why do you always squint?" He's like, "I squint because I can't see." And I'm like, "You've been playing football at this level for that long and you never got contacts or anything correct." Like, he just recently, he's been playing, and no bullshit either. He's been playing this whole time without any contacts or anything in his eye. That's why you always have those famous Jameis squint like pictures. So he just recently got LASIK. So I was really curious to see if maybe that's why he has turnovers, because of the deep ball. Probably not, but it's just a theory that, I was really excited to see, but I agree with you. And then another thing too, I don't know why these teams like the Colts, they wanted Phillip Rivers and all these guys, because they're not mobile, you know, and you already know what you're going to get from them. And it's basically a worse performance than what you saw last year. And neither one of them were really that great.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it. We said that, at least I think anyway, that Jameis should be starting somewhere in the NFL. I mean, he's just got the arm talent. The guy that led the NFL in touchdown passes last year should be out there. But yeah, overall, just a horrible, horrible game from the Saints. Like, they had all the opportunity in the world to win that. I think that like their time to win the Super Bowl was 2 years ago when they got that bad PI call for the Rams. And then since then, Drew Brees was just chasing. He wanted to chase that ring a couple more times and eventually realized, hey, maybe I'm too old and I can't do it anymore.
Drew Brees is chasing steam. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that the Sean Payton and the Saints are one of those organizations that they'll always feel a quality team, but if your quarterback can't drag you across the line, it's going to be really hard. I agree. Hopefully that they go with famous Jameis next year instead of Taysom Hill's like a cool gadget guy, but...
Yeah, I'm not sold on Taysom Hill, but the Saints are in a bad spot. They're $90 million over the cap. I mean, if you look at their cap, I mean, they're going to have to cut some people. Like, Mike Thomas probably have to go. They might have to get rid of Kamara because that contract's ridiculous. So, the Saints, we could be looking at the end of a Sean Payton Saints dynasty, per se.
Yeah. Whew. And all off that PI. All right, here. So, you could pinpoint it right there. I don't know, though. I think we'll see, though. Sean Payton might do the whole thing where he's just like, you know, I need to take a break from football. And then once a team with a where he doesn't have to rebuild or anything, he's like, you know what? I didn't really need that break. So we'll see, because that's what all the coaches do. Anyways, like, oh, I need a break from this. Real quick, we'll talk about the Rams-Packers too, and then that way we could transition into the Bills and the Chiefs. I don't have really too much to say about the Rams and the Packers. I don't know why the line, to me, I don't know why the line wasn't higher than that. I would have had it almost to Packers at 10, so a field goal and a touchdown. I just knew with Aaron Donald, especially too, because they were saying shit like, oh, you know, he's in pain just lining up. But of course he's going to play. I was like, yeah, of course he's going to play, just like Mahomes is going to play with whatever the concussion is. But it's tough.
Yeah, we were. I'm with Goff. Goff's thumb was all messed up. Mm-hmm. And then Aaron Donald obviously had to get that shot in the ribs. Like, he only had one tackle. He was hardly ever out on the field. And there's just, I didn't think, I was never high on the Rams all season long. I thought that I didn't even think they were going to be in the playoffs. So the fact that they even got there was a success on their own in my eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was definitely not the same Rams team we've seen over the last couple of years. I did have them beating Seattle. I took them +4 against Seattle, but then against the Packers, like, no way. There's two things that really weighed into my decision there. Like Travis said, Goff's thumb, but also Goff being from California. Aaron Rodgers goes on Pat McAfee show every Tuesday, mm-hmm. and he talked about being from California, because that's where Aaron Rodgers is from, and then going into Green Bay. He said it took him probably 2-3 years to get used to the weather. He said so. And so once I heard him say that, Goff is a California kid, bad thumb, cold weather, I hammered the Packers.
Mm, smart, smart. And Travis, I agree with you. I didn't think that the Rams were going to make. We did an early show where we did over and under for all the teams' win total. I assumed that the Rams, I was like, oh, they probably could be possibly the worst team in the NFC West. If you're really high on the Cardinals, that's what I was thinking. But obviously, Niners got a lot of regression. Cardinals were a little bit disappointing. And then Seahawks finished first, which I didn't expect either. But all right, let's move on to the fun one. The young battle. You got the Buffalo Bills. All the tables are being sold. They're getting broken. And then you got Mahomes, which for the concussion protocol, you definitely know they didn't ask him what the state capital was. because there's people who don't even have concussion. And that'll confuse them. They'll be like, what? It's like, what do you mean Columbus? I'll let you guys open up. What's your thoughts about this game? What sides are you on? And what kind of information are you looking at about this?
Yeah, so I'll let Travis jump into this because we got some controversial opinions about this
game.
Oh,
I love that.
What do you mean controversial opinions? Oh, okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. We are not big Chiefs backers mm-hmm. at all. We hate Chiefs, even being from Missouri. We do not like them. So we're on the Browns +10, obviously. And we wanted the Browns to win. And I think that this game just solely relies on Kevin Stefanski and how horrible of a coaching job he did on mm-hmm. the back end of this game. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
The challenge flag that he threw on, I think that would have been the Chiefs, second to last possession, where Tyreek Hill caught that pass. I mean, if you don't trust your defense enough to stop Chad Henne after just a first down, like 18-yard gain, then, I mean, you're not really have much faith in your team after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, with that being said, we think Stefanski gave the game away last weekend. Granted, Reed had some ballsy calls. We're actually both on the Bills. We like Bills money line this weekend. I just think Mahomes, even without the concussion, he had that toe injury, and you could see whenever mm-hmm. he hurt his toe, like he wasn't playing the same. And honestly, I've said it for like the last like 6 weeks of the year, the Chiefs have not looked good. I mean, they've let teams hang around that shouldn't hung around. The Dolphins had a chance to beat them, who's our team. The Falcons mm-hmm. nearly beat them. So, I mean, the Chiefs just haven't looked good down the stretch. And I think that Josh Allen and the Bills will be able to overpower them on offense. I think the Bills haven't had a complete game in the postseason. The first game, their defense kind of let them up. Second game, their defense stepped up. Their offense special team sucked. If they can do all three phases, I think they beat the Chiefs.
That's funny. I'm actually a Dolphins fan too.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, for basketball, I'm Lakers, baseball, Dodgers, but my football team is the Dolphins. My dad grew up in Fort Lauderdale, so
nice.
Yeah. The pride of my fandom when I was a kid, which I'm assuming is probably your guys', is when we were doing the Wildcat with Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown, and then we beat the Patriots.
Yeah, so actually we became Dolphins fans. We grew up in St. Louis, so yeah. We were Rams fans.
Oh, and then they moved. Yeah, and
Stephen Ross was one of two owners to vote against their move to LA. So we're like, screw it, let's hop on the Dolphins. And that's, we've been there since 2016. So our highlight as fans was that 2016 run with Ryan Tannehill when we went to the playoffs and, you know, rattled off like six wins in a row or something like that. So
yeah, it was like the lowest, what was it, like one of the lowest point differentials for a playoff team? I remember that. Yeah, but still made it. That's funny that you talk, because I used to live around the St. Louis area being a military kid, and I have so many friends that hate the movement of the Rams. So they're like, hey, it's fine. We got the Cardinals and we got the Blues. So
they've been winning. We're kind of over it, but we're both on the Bills money line. We're doing like a unit on money line and two units on the spread plus three. We also got them and the Packers in a money line parlay. So okay.
I think it's less of like how high we are on the Bills and more of how
the disdain.
Just like to see them win and how much we hate the Chiefs. So kind of like a combination there. But
okay, I love that. Well, you guys aren't wrong though. Buffalo 12-6 ATS this season. Kansas City 6-10 ATS with a push. Kansas has been hanging around. They're not one of those teams where it's like, oh, you know, they're hanging around and then they're going to turn on the gas. It just looks like this is who they are. So I don't think that Kansas is world beaters, but for me, it's just hard to bet against the Mahomes. Would I take them on the points? Possibly. But if I was forced to, I would probably end up doing it. I just think that the thing about the Bills, though, is for positives about them, is I feel like Josh Allen is at that point where he's went to the playoffs at such a young age and he's failed, that at that point it's kind of like you know you already had that like big blunder of a moment that you're that's not going to really trip you up. So we'll see. I think it's going to be exciting, even if I'm just happy for whatever the Super Bowl matchup is going to be. Okay, but your guys' ideal Super Bowl matchup would be Buffalo Bills and the Packers, right?
Yep, as of right now, that's who I actually picked before the playoffs started. Was Bills Packers and Bills winning it all. But I would probably flop now. I think Packers are going to win it all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're unstoppable right now. Like, so we actually both put out four futures at the beginning of the playoffs. Mine was on the Bills, Ravens, Bucks, and Saints. Mm-hmm. So right now I have Bucks and Bills left. So if those two met in the Super Bowl, I wouldn't be angry because I'd automatically win money, but I just do not see the Bucks. So I would say Bills Packers would be my ideal Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah, I don't see the Bucks either, but if the Bucks do win, Brady technically has home field advantage at that point. Yeah. which that would be the most fucking perfect Brady story, where this guy goes in as a wild card first year, accomplishes something that Breeze is what only accomplished two or three times, the NFC championship game. He does it in his first year, and then he gets home field advantage, and you know they're gonna let fans in because it's Florida. Yeah,
it's Florida.
Most Tom Brady shit I've ever seen.
I don't think there's ever been a home team that's played in their home stadium in the Super Bowl, has there? Maybe the Saints do it in the Superdome. That's the only team I can think of.
Here, we'll find that out.
I was gonna say, because like, they're making a big deal about it a couple years ago. I can't remember where it was at. Maybe it was in Minnesota, and the Vikings were halfway decent that year. But
only two teams have reached the Super Bowl hosted in their home region. San Francisco 49ers, who played and won the Super Bowl in Candlestick. And Los Angeles Rams, who played in the Super Bowl and won it in the Rose Bowl. Rather than the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. I would tell you guys what Super Bowl that was, but my Norman Rumorals is not that good. So just know it's those two Super Bowls, and then you guys can figure it out on your own. I gave you guys the answers to the question. Just I didn't show you the work. But yeah, dude, so I'm pretty excited for it. I'm pretty pumped for this. We talked about Mahomes' injury. I wanted to ask you guys about that. Because what makes Mahomes so dangerous is that he can keep the play alive. On the reverse, you had Josh Allen, who before, a lot of times they'd be like, oh, you know, he'd run out of the pocket too early. Now he's just like a baby Big Ben. He's just standing in the pocket. He's tall. He's like, I'm going to eat this tackle. I don't care. I was like, I'm going to wait for Stephon Diggs to finish this route. And it's like, I don't know. You just got a healthy up-and-coming Bills team. You guys are kind of selling me on it. I think that's something I would be worried about, was the Mahomes injury.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Go ahead.
I think they're kind of sweeping Mahomes' whole concussion thing under the rug, because when the practice report came out today, they said that he practiced in full, and then they had to go back and say no, he was a limited participant. Andy Reid won't say what phase he's in on coming out of the concussion protocol. I think they're going to kind of skate by, sweep it under the rug, and he's going to go out and play. But at the same time, it's like his toe's messed up. He's probably not going to be 100%. And me and Jarrett were talking about it earlier. Like, do you want your $500 million man out there with possibly like the chance to get a career-ending injury to your neck in an AFC Championship game?
Yeah, yeah, because his concussion was weird. It wasn't like a true concussion. No, it was a head-to-head hit.
Yeah.
He got like wrapped up, and then they came out and said it was something to do with his nerve that caused like either a lack of blood flow or something to his brain. And so I think I would be more concerned about the longevity of Mahomes in this game or in post this game, you know, like Travis said. So it's a big risk. I understand the Super Bowl's on the line, but this team's set up to be in this position for the next at least 3 years. So.
Yeah, yeah, you brought up a good point because the tackle didn't look that bad. You're right, because when you saw it, like if you didn't know, if all you saw was Mahomes' concussion and you were driving, you're like, oh shit, he must have got his ass laid out. And then you watch it and you're just, oh, this looks like, you know, the guy just did like a gator roll on his neck. But when Mahomes stood up, it was just like, you know, like the like Looney Tunes, the like the sounds and everything, like angels. Like he looked like he had no idea where he was, and I was like, oh shit, like that guy has a concussion. Like that is a concussion. So,
yeah. He didn't get hit hard, but he looked worse than what he would have if he would have gotten hit hard.
No, 100%.
Makes sense at all.
Because sometimes you see those guys and they have a concussion and they just like walk it off, but he looked like he had absolutely no idea. Like he didn't even know he was playing football for a minute, but he ran out fine. But yeah, we'll see. I'm curious though. I'm going to see what Roger, because you know Roger Goodell, they're going to be like, hey, what's that Mahomes concussion report? Okay, give it to me. He's like, stamp it, green light it, we're good. So, you know, the league doesn't, but they do have an independent doctor that has to clear them before they can play. So we'll see about that. But I don't know if they're, you know, it's football. So if Mahomes says he wants to play, which he probably is going to want to play because he's a competitor, the Chiefs are probably going to go out there and risk it. I mean, for fuck's sake, I'm a basketball guy. The famous phrase that all sports doctors say is, you even saw it too in the recent national championship game with Jalen Waddle. They said, listen, you can't make it any worse. As long as he can tolerate the pain, he can't make the injury any worse. And then you saw him run out there. That's what they said about KD, and he ended up tearing his Achilles, that they said he can't hurt any worse. It's just a pain tolerance thing. They probably might end up saying that for Mahomes. It's like, oh, his ankle, you know, you can't get it any worse. It's just a pain tolerance. And then next thing you know, the guy's out maybe the beginning of the season, which, knock on wood, I don't hope happens. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just it's a wild scenario. And I don't think I've ever in the last couple of years, like, I haven't been as excited for a conference championship weekend like I am this weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just pumped for the matchups. I mean, Rodgers and Brady and Mahomes and Josh Allen and the, you know, Bills Mafia. Like we're all Dolphins fans here, but I love Bills Mafia, and I really hope they pull it out for them. I mean, they lost 4 Super Bowls in a row in the 90s. I kind of hope that they get back there. And then they kind of fall off a cliff and the Dolphins kind of take over that division. So,
yeah, 100%. Then it's going to be Tua time. You guys bring that up about their fans, because their fans are actually some of – did you guys hear what they did about Lamar Jackson's foundation too? Where his backpack foundation, which is crazy that they donated all that money. Like, Bills fans are just – they're just like wonderful people. But wonderful people. They're great. They would be a great, you know, fan base that success to. Because let's be real, there are some fan bases you see and you're just like, fuck, I don't want those guys. Like, being a Dolphins fan, everyone feels like this. Is like you just hate when the Patriots win, because like, you guys already got fucking one. You guys like talk about Boston excellence and all that shit. So
that's how we feel about Kansas City. I think that they are on like very, not the very top, but very high on my totem pole of like most insufferable fan bases. This area, it's awful.
Yeah, so we went to college at Mizzou, which is like right in the middle of the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like this good mix of like people from St. Louis, people from Kansas City. And what's really insufferable is that people from the middle of the state, this is back when we saw the Rams, they pick and choose. The Royals suck back then, so they're Cardinals fans.
Oh no,
who are amazing. And then the Rams suck, so they're gonna be Chiefs fans. So I mean, it was just So yeah, we have a certain disdain for the Kansas City fan base. So,
all right, hey, to the Kansas City fans listening, don't attack them. Go check out their podcast. They're great guys. They're great enough to be honest about it too. That's what's important, you know. But yeah, that's funny that you bring that up, because when I used to live out there, I knew people like that, but I went to college out here in Vegas, and there's like no sports team except for hockey team. So everyone's just all united. We all love our Vegas Golden Knights. But here, we'll wrap up the show. We're getting close to the 40-minute mark. For the Super Bowl that's coming up. So that way, if you guys are right, pick your guys' two teams and then pick your guys' score.
I'm going to ride with it. Bills, Packers. Mm-hmm. I was originally thinking the Bills are going to pull away with it, but I'll do Bills, Packers. Packers win a fun game. I'll say 35-31 Pack.
Okay.
Over the Bills.
I'll lock that in for you. The B&B Sportsbook. All right. What about you, Travis?
All right. I'm not going to go super vanilla and choose the same thing. I would like to see Bills, Packers, but I'm going to go Packers, Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say Packers take it away. And I'm going to go 35-21.
Okay. All right. I love it. All right. Last thing before we go, draft's coming up, and we are betting men. So if you guys had to decide, who do you think in order, what's your guys' in order top three picks? So Jags, then after that, Jets, and then Dolphins.
So ideally what I want to happen is Trevor Lawrence is going number one. I don't think Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville is going to make any difference that they pick Justin Fields.
No.
I honestly think that the Jets are going to pass on Justin Fields. I think they got Robert Saleh, the head, the defense coordinator from San Francisco. I think they're going to pass on a quarterback, and I think they'll take that tackle out of Oregon, that Penei Sewell kid. And the Dolphins get two of some weapons. They pair him back up with Devonta Smith at three.
Ooh, well, he's being touted as some say he's the premier number one offensive tackle without question. So we'll see. What about you, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning the same way. I don't know. It's just so hard for me to think that you have seen what now, 3 years or 2 years of Sam Darnold. This was his third, wasn't it?
Sam Darnold? Yeah. I think it's his third year.
Yeah. It's just so hard for me that you can look at what he's done and think that he's okay to keep around. I'm going to say that they almost have to take Justin Fields, even though I don't like it. Justin Fields is not my number two quarterback in this draft. I personally think Zach Wilson's better. We'll save that for another day. I'm a huge, huge Zach Wilson fan. I think that they would take Justin Fields. And then, of course, the Dolphins absolutely hate taking tackles top 10, but they probably will and take that Penei Sewell guy.
I like Sewell. I think he's pretty tight watching him. It's funny that you bring up Zach Wilson. My dad, he likes betting on BYU just because of Zach Wilson. And his thought process,
all the time.
His thought process is like, what else do those kids got to do other than focus on football? He's like, think about it, it's BYU. And so he says every time. And then when it hits, he's like, hey, what did I tell you? He's like, you know, they're not partying. Even I'm like, yeah, there's COVID and everything going on. But yeah, that's why it's like whenever I see Zach Wilson, that's what I think about. I was just like, man, cash and tickets, Zach Wilson.
We have a Zach Wilson shirt on our merch store, brought to you by me because I love him so much. So hopefully he gets some love in the draft too.
All right. Well, hey, I just want to say thank you, Jared. Thank you, Travis. Please take this time to let the audience know where they can follow you and where they can catch your great show.
Yeah, so you can follow us on all socials, TikTok, you know, we're on that, Instagram, Twitter, at Two Drunk Brothers, pretty simple. Our podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to. It's Two Drunk Brothers in a podcast. We talk about a lot of NFL stuff. We talk kind of gambling every week. Huge UFC guys, too, so there's a big UFC card this weekend. We get some bets for that in, so go check it out.
All right, sweet.
Yeah, that is the number two Drunk Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Don't try to spell it out.
Keep it simple with the numbers. But hey, Travis, Jared, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time.
All right. Thank you.